JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
Now tell us some of your favorite rock groups, will you?
Oh, my favorite rock group is a Lover Boy.
Of course.
Rush, Frank, Zeppi, Zippy, and also Ted Nugent.
I just thought I would like to tell you my favorite thing on a man.
Okay.
Number one would be I'd like somebody with a cleaner mouth than either of you three, and with much smarter brains than any of you. And
will
that
you,
does it.
Ooh, will you please go to bed with me?
I wouldn't go to bed with you if you...
Barbara Jones was in two wrong places at two of the wrong times.
Okay. She was in Institute, West Virginia, 2 days ago when the Union Carbide plant leaked.
And she's going, wow, damn the luck.
And she was in South Charleston, West Virginia, last night when another carbide plant leaked.
And she's like going, wow, some days it just doesn't pay to get out of bed. She also ate some of that Mexican Jalisco cheese a couple of weeks ago and washed it down with some watermelon.
She was in Bhopal, India when that when that plant leaked.
And she used the toilet right after Rock Hudson used it.
She was at that soccer fire in Italy. I think she was at Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Vanier with Pat Sajak. What's she want?
I was wondering if he ever had any sexual relationships with his guest host.
Isn't this a good idea, Pat?
This is great. This is great.
Vanier with Pat Sajak. What's she want?
Yeah, Pat, when are you
going to
take Van in the
backseat of
one of those cars?
There seems to be a theme developing here.
I'm in here with Bob Eubanks. What you want?
Yeah, Bob, you ever go out with Vanna White?
Wrong.
Oh,
thank you.
Hey, it's Conway. How do you say, guys? Just called to annoy you.
Hi, Tim. How
Conway
are
you? Who? Twitty?
Oh, sure, sure. How soon you forget.
How are you doing?
None of your business, actually. really, no kidding. It's sensational what you guys are doing, and I hope that someday
we get paid for it.
You get paid for it, or we'll take it and send it out to the
company. We're talking to Helen Slater, who was the star of Supergirl. Now, when you're not doing movies, what are you doing?
Well, I was telling you, I practice yoga quite heavily. Because as an actress, you know, you have your instrument as your body.
John, we have our instruments as our body. Let's keep that in mind.
Okay, well, I'll start playing mine more often then.
I just woke up. Who are you guys hating today?
Who are we hating today?
Yeah.
Name somebody.
Well,
huh? It's your.
Get off.
Brian?
Just get off.
Brian, I need the phone.
Get off.
Brian.
Get off.
Come on, I got to...
Get off, Dan.
We hate that guy today.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, December 2nd, 2022. Only 75 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. That, what you just heard, was a compilation going all the way back to the mid-1980s, where one of the big broadcast trade publications, you know, it doesn't matter what business you're in. If you sell insurance, there's probably some, well, now there's probably just some sort of website. But, you know, back in the day, no matter what you did for a living, there was a magazine, a trade magazine that sort of accompanied your business, your industry. And in ours, it was this thing called Radio and Records. And they said, we're picking out a handful of radio stations from across the country, And you're one of them because we heard all about you guys in St. Louis. They were out in L.A., but we heard all about you. So what we want you to do is put together like a little five-minute sampler, a little compilation. And what we're going to do is we're going to put that on a cassette, and we are going to include that in like an upcoming edition of our magazine, which got mailed out to thousands and thousands of people in the broadcast industry every Friday. And we're like, oh, cool, let's show off. So we put that together, and sure enough, a couple of weeks later, that got sent right back to us because we were subscribers, but it also got sent out to, as I said, the thousands and thousands of people in the broadcast industry. And what immediately happened, well, two things. Number one, we started getting job offers from all over the country, and I mean Dallas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, New York. I mean, all the big cities were like, you guys are fucking hilarious. Why don't you come to New York? And I'm like, because I've been to New York and I don't want to live there. So I rejected all that stuff. Just stayed where I was. It drove our price up a little bit. Gave us some negotiating power because we're like, look, all these people want to hire us in big cities all over the country. Now, fork some money over, which they did, by the way. But the other thing that happened, and this was me not thinking, the other thing that happened was people started stealing all of our stuff because they heard it on the tape, they heard it on the cassette, and they're sitting in, you know, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and pretty soon got some guy every Friday morning playing Party Town and doing what we did. Of course, in St. Louis now, you got another station that has ripped off Party Town, but I digress. But anyhow, it was really great to hear that stuff. That guy, Dan, get off the phone, Dan. I just love that guy. You realize that guy's probably in his 50s or 60s today, and I would love to know who that guy is and see if he ever lived that down. All right. About a half an hour from where I am sitting right now, the police finally folded it up and went home last night. But at some point, they got to figure out some way to get Antonio Brown out of his house. Now, you know the Antonio Brown story. He was a receiver for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And last year, I guess it was last year, he just quit in the middle of a game, took his jersey and his shoulder pads off, and walks off the field bare-chested and has been acting even weirder than that ever since, making lots of controversial and irresponsible statements, making fun of Tom Brady's divorce, and just, you know, awfully good football player, but just nutty as a fruitcake. And, you know, at this point, you also have to say dangerous. So the cops got him on a domestic violence charge, and yesterday they went over to his house, like I said, about a half an hour from here, and they're like, Antonio, you need to come with us, and he just barricades himself in the house and won't come out. So they surrounded the house, and then at some point somebody said, no, pull back. He didn't murder anybody. He does not, at least at this point, appear to be a threat to society. Go home. Let's look at it tomorrow. Which is all interesting because this is a hell of a story. I love this story. So everybody remembers Karen Kelly, who I just saw last week when I was in St. Louis. And Karen was our producer and co-host for a lot of years and also my best friend. And she, at the time, was married to Sam Dotson. Now, you remember Officer Sam. Now, they broke up years ago, but back in those days, Officer Sam had joined the police force. He actually started in radio. That's where he and Karen met. Well, actually, I think they met in high school, but then they both pursued broadcast careers. And Sam just didn't, for whatever reason, he didn't like it. There's a really funny picture of him at the old KWK with Davy Jones from the Monkees. This is the guy who would eventually join the police force and eventually ascend all the way to chief of police of the city of St. Louis. You'll remember he was on television every night there for a while during Ferguson. But after he joined the force and was, you know, walking the streets and driving around and, you know, being just a low-level police officer, not that there's anything wrong with that, somebody's got to do it. And, you know, he'd walk around and quickly he rose through the ranks at the police force, and they realized, no, this guy's too smart for this. We can use him in so many more efficient ways. And for a while, he was a hostage negotiator. He would do stuff like try to get Antonio Brown out of his fucking house. And a lot of times these people were high on something. They were mentally unstable. They were, they were not the kind of people that you could always reason with. Let's put it that way. And the police force doesn't want you to know about this stuff because part of the effectiveness of something like the energy ball, part of the reason for the success of the energy ball is the mystery of it, which we've talked about on the air. And I think the statute of limitations has run out on it, but it's this thing. It's basically what they say it is. It's this ball. And they launch this through your plate glass window, and there's something in this thing that makes it start bouncing around all over the place. But it's not soft. It's hard. And so anything it hits, it basically destroys. And I have no idea about the technology involved in this thing or how they make it do it. But this thing starts bouncing around in your living room, and it is designed to cause a major distraction so that while you're going, what the fuck is this thing? That's when they charge into your house and they arrest you and they take you away and say, why the hell didn't you just give yourself up? So, will this Antonio Brown story continue to propel itself onto the front pages of the newscast? I don't know. You start scratching your head going, is this going to end peacefully? Antonio Brown does not appear to be all there. The question is, how not all there is he? So watch this space. The other big story, also sports, soccer. Tomorrow, that is, if you're listening to this on today, Friday, December 2nd. A lot of people don't always listen to the podcast on the day that it is posted. And some people will actually listen to three or four of them on the weekend. But if you're listening on Friday, yeah, soccer tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock St. Louis time. I don't know if the Grove is going to go nuts again like it did during the women playing for the championship a couple of years ago. I was talking about that the other day. We went down there. It was earlier than that. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning because of the time change. We went down there, and every bar was just packed. The streets were just elbow to elbow. They even had television monitors outside in the streets, which were blocked off because so many people were down in the Grove all at the bars and restaurants watching the chicks playing the soccer. Some badass women out there. So now the question is, has this thing excelled to the level where it's going to do that? Now it's going to be pretty cold out. The day the women were playing, it was sunny and 85 degrees. So I don't know if the cold will have an impact on this. But we'll see if we're still talking about all this on Monday morning. The other story is Kanye. Story this morning, even Elon Musk finally said, all right, that's enough. So Kanye's Twitter account has been suspended. It's another guy. You wonder how long it's going to be before he holds up in his house and they have to fire the energy ball into his living room. He goes on with Alex Jones, and even Alex Jones, the crackpot that he is, was pulling away from the comments that Kanye was making on the show the other night when he said, oh, yeah, I love Hitler. I love the Nazis. And he said the idea that 6 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust is, quote, just factually incorrect, end quote. And like I said, even Alex Jones is like, well, can we go to commercial? That's not a good sign when you're too crazy for Alex Jones. And I'm going to make a prediction right here. I'm going to make a prediction. He's going to end up dead. Kanye West is going to end up dead. He's either going to shoot himself, or he's going to get involved in something with somebody, and bullets are going to fly, and he's going to end up dead sooner than later. Just remember, you heard it here first. Dave Murray called me yesterday. We talked for quite a while. We hadn't talked in a couple of months, and we caught up on family and holidays and health and everything like that. Dave and I are exactly the same age, just a couple of months apart. So we were talking about how our bodies are falling apart. Good news, though, his Doppler is still intact. Anyhow, this is going to be very windy today. Very, very windy. Your Christmas decorations are going to be found tomorrow morning in Iowa. And there's a wind advisory today from noon until 9 o'clock. Seriously, some of you are going to lose your Christmas decorations. If you got inflatables and stuff like that, don't fill them up because they'll blow away and they'll get ruined in the process. So anyhow, noon to 9 today, only the 2nd of December. Plenty of time yet for you to show off in the neighborhood with your fancy-ass Christmas decorations, all right? But today from noon to 9, not a good time. Also, we got into a further discussion about something I've been talking about now for over a week, and that is Dave telling us there are a big cold snap coming around the 10th of December. But he tweaked it a little bit yesterday. He said probably, you know, 10, 11, 12, somewhere right in there. It won't necessarily be a polar vortex, you know, where the temperatures go below zero, but it's going to really get cold. Again, this is probably 10, 11, 12, something like that. And then about 5 days later, like around the 16th or 17th of December, a second wave comes in. And he said that one might be worse. So again, I'm just telling you this. So if you have plans to be outside for some reason during that period, just a heads up. Again, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. First wave, second wave comes in around the 16th or 17th. Going to get very, very cold for a while. All right, I'm going to tell you a little story here. One, this is right after I left Channel 5. This was probably, probably early 90s. Yeah, early to mid 90s. There were two people who Channel 5 had put on their weekend newscast. Two pretty good reporters, too. Jeff Fowler and Gene Jackson. And to make a very long story short, after working together on the weekend newscast for several years, they realized that they had each married the wrong person. So Jeff Fowler went home one night and said, honey, I'm in love with somebody else, and so I'm leaving you, getting a divorce, and I am marrying Gene Jackson. Gene Jackson did the same thing. She went home that night and told her husband, I'm in love with somebody else, I'm marrying Jeff Fowler, we're getting a divorce. And the two of them are still happily married today. It happens. And why wouldn't it? You know, there's all these companies that, have these fraternization guidelines, you know, you're not supposed to do it. And I know why. I know why they do it. And at the same time, how are you supposed to control who you fall in love with? And by the way, the work environment, I mean, let's be honest here. In a lot of these, you know, high demanding jobs that are requiring you to spend more than just an average 8-hour workday, you're with your coworkers more than you are with your own families. One thing leads to another, and the next thing you know, you got a situation. There's lots of people. I mean, I could reel off names here all day. Two of my managers from the first radio station I worked at in St. Louis, same thing happened. They met somebody on the job. They realized they weren't really in love with the person that they were married to, and so they got divorced and married the person from work. And a lot of people just meet at work and decide that they really like one another, and next thing you know, they announce an engagement, and there you go. And a lot of companies really frown on this, and while I understand their point, I think that the rules and the guidelines and everything are pretty ridiculous. Now, the reason I mention all of this is because Amy Robach. Now, Amy Robach popped up on the Today Show for the first time I became cognizant of her. And then a couple of years back, she jumped over to Good Morning America. And you guessed it, a couple of days ago, they announced that she and another guy from the news, somebody named TJ Holmes, have been having a secret affair. And people are like, oh, you know, are they going to be disciplined? I'm like, disciplined? Disciplined for what do they do wrong? Love is not always voluntary. It's usually involuntary. How can you accuse somebody of doing something wrong? You can accuse them of violating company policy, but you can't accuse them of doing anything wrong. So each of them went home and said, honey, this is it. I'm in love with somebody else. And I don't know if they went public with it or somebody broke the story. All I know is TJ Holmes and Amy Robach have been having this affair. They're consenting adults. And the network says, yeah, I mean, we don't really see anything wrong with it. And that is the appropriate response. That's exactly what they should have said. And again, I know it's a double-edged sword. You know, for every one of these stories where people get together and say, we're so in love and we're divorcing our current spouses and these two people get together. For every one of those sort of happy ending stories, oh, I can guarantee you there's probably 5 to 10 where the story does not end well. And that's why, especially the big companies, the big corporations, really frown upon this. you boink somebody for a couple of weeks or a couple of months and the relationship burns out and now you got to go to work and look at that person every day. And usually one of the two people, you know, there's usually an imbalance in the relationship. So one of the two of them is hurting a lot worse. And it would be hard to argue against the idea that it, you know, negatively affects their work production. So again, I understand both sides, but as far as doing something wrong, no, I'm not buying this. By the way, that whole situation involving Jeff Fowler and Gene Jackson was even more complicated than that, because at the same time that the story was breaking that Gene Jackson was getting a divorce and marrying her co-anchor at Channel 5, you have to remember that there was a guy there at the time named Randy Jackson, but he was not involved in this. But he worked at the station, Gene Jackson, Randy Jackson. There were people who just didn't get it and were like, oh, Gene Jackson is marrying Randy Jackson. Randy Jackson wasn't part of this at all. Randy Jackson, by the way, provided us with hours and hours of unintentional entertainment.
Blunt and fellow Republicans John Schenig from Arizona and Ohio's John Boehner.
Boehner, not Boehner, you dope.
Well, the Rams play their first preseason game against Indianapolis on Thursday. To get a good gauge of how prepared the Rams are, head coach Scott Linehan.
Wrong again, which brings us to Casey Anthony. Again, Florida, crazy from the heat. Casey Anthony, as you'll recall, was a semi-attractive single mom, and she was on trial for killing her, three-year-old daughter, putting her in a suitcase and leaving her in a swamp somewhere. She said she didn't do it. She was on trial. She got acquitted. Welcome to Florida. So it's been a couple of years now, and if you didn't know who she was or what she did, you'd say, that's, not the prettiest girl I've ever seen, but still not bad. But she's a murderer, and everybody knows it except her. So I didn't talk about this until after the series was over, because I didn't want anybody watching this. I didn't want people to think that I was endorsing the TV show, because I certainly wasn't. And there's a couple of good reasons why. Here's Inside Edition.
The much-anticipated Casey Anthony interview started streaming today, 11 years after being acquitted of murdering her two-year-old daughter. Anthony is telling her side of the story, but not everyone is buying what she has to say.
Casey Anthony became the most hated mom in America during her trial for the murder of her three-year-old daughter, Kaylee. Now, Casey is opening up as never before in her first sit-down interview.
The only person in this world that matters to me still is my daughter. But I'm still defending the fact that I didn't hurt her.
The three-part documentary, Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies, starts streaming today on Peacock.
And no one can ever tell me I should just get over the fact that my daughter isn't here and I've been blamed for her being gone.
I was one of the prosecutors in that case 11 years ago.
Jeff Ashton was a top prosecutor in South Florida. He spoke with Stephen Fabian.
First, is it hard to believe we're still talking about this case 11 years later?
Yes, it is. It is amazing that you know, we're still rehashing it after all these years, but people, amazingly enough, are still interested in it.
Belvin Perry became famous as the judge who presided over the case. He is now retired.
Nothing surprises me when it comes to Casey Anthony. She's always been one for the dramatic flair.
In the new documentary, Casey accuses her father of sexually assaulting her, which he denies. She also blames him for the death of Kaylee, which he also denies.
I can see him standing there with her in his arms and hand her to me and telling me that it's my fault. I don't know where she went, and I don't know what he did.
What do you make of her pinning the blame on her father?
Unfortunately, the truth and Casey are total strangers.
Like I said, everybody seems to know that she's a murderer, except Casey Anthony herself. 1990, 22 years ago today, we were live from New Madrid, Missouri, on the banks of the river, and right there, covering the impending earthquake. the impending earthquake. Yeah, nothing happened. Dr. Ivan Browning, we'd all spent months Velcroing down, tying down, gluing down, the rubber banding down everything in our house because it was learning how to turn off the gas and water because things were going to rupture after the big earthquake. And Ivan Browning, by the way, a climatologist, and also a scientist who apparently did not realize that we do not, as human beings, have the ability to prognosticate earthquakes. Can't do it. But he had us all ready. And I'm going to tell you something. We went down there. First of all, New Madrid. Talk about God forgot. You know who's from there is Heidi Glaus. Boy, congratulations to her for getting the hell out of there. And I hesitate to use this term because it's so overused. But in this particular case, it was a media circus. I think it was 39 satellite uplink trucks. Those big motherfuckers with the big dishes on the top. All the networks were there. Our buddy Russ Mitchell, who had just gone to New York to work for CBS News after years in the weekend slot on Channel 4. Russ, terrific guy, one of my favorite people from St. Louis, and he was there. And all three affiliates, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, and in some cases Fox, too, four stations. Every place from, you know, Cincinnati, Louisville, St. Louis, Chicago, anything that fell within that giant circle that they said, well, you know, if we have this earthquake, these are the cities that are going to feel it. So, you know, everybody goes down there, and we all stood there in the cold on a Friday morning, December 2nd, 1990, and not a goddamn thing happened. We were all, like, interviewing one another because there wasn't anything else to do. Boy, when something snowballs, it snowballs in this country. 1989 on this day was a very interesting day for me because the previous night we had gone up to Chicago to see Paul McCartney, who for the first time was actually doing, you know, an actual list of Beatles songs. So it was a really, really big deal. So the show wasn't coming to St. Louis, so we decided to go up to Chicago and broadcast live from the Rosemont Horizon, Paul McCartney in Chicago. Great show. And then I had a hop on a plane on Friday morning, fly back to St. Louis, hop in a cab, tell the guy, you know, floor it. It was like something out of a movie. I came running in to the Channel 5 studios, put a microphone on, sit down for a 15-minute satellite interview with Eric Clapton. It was like something out of a bad movie. Saw Bob Seger at the Kiel on this date back in 2006. Won't see him again. He is one of my all-time favorite artists. And, you know, we've had two very long interviews with Bob, and he is a wonderful guy to talk to, but because of his advancing age, he has changed the octave in which he performs, and the songs don't sound the same. You know, probably maybe to the untrained ear, people wouldn't hear any difference, but, you know, he did Main Street, and it didn't even sound like the same song because he was doing it in a different octave because he couldn't hit the high notes anymore. So it was like, that's it. I don't want to do that anymore. The power failure of 2006 continued after the ice storm on this date back in, well, I already said 2006. I returned to KSD on this date back in 1995. Those are my second stint there. The Naked Gun with Leslie Nielsen, released on this date in 1988. What a great movie and what a great guy. Saw Genesis in Buffalo on this date in 83. 2001, the Disney people called us up and said, hey, how'd you like to come down to Florida and broadcast for a week? We'll put you up in some nice hotels. We'll pay for everything. All you got to do is come down, bring the show, and we'll pick up the tab for the whole thing. And at that point, all anybody saw was a cloud of dust and a telephone just sort of hanging from the cord at my desk. It's like I practically went straight to the airport. And so the four of us, we got a free trip to Disney, and it was a great time, except for like the 22-year-old public relations girl who was giving me dirty looks because she didn't think I was talking about Disney enough. And Bruce Springsteen performed at the Old Barn at the arena on this date back in 1992. Kiki Palmer hosting Saturday Night Live. SZA is the musical guest. Sunday Night Football, Dallas hosting Indianapolis. Oh, Jesus, there's a bloodbath. And we got a series on Showtime, the series premiere of George and Tammy, starring Jessica Chastain as Tammy Wynette and Michael Shannon as George Jones. Kevin Bacon on with Jimmy Fallon tonight. We don't know any of the other shows. I'm pretty sure they're all in reruns. Birthdays today. Aaron Rodgers up there in Green Bay, 39. Britney Spears, 41. Nelly Furtado, I'm like a bird, 44. Monica Seles, Tennis Hall of Famer, 49. Lucy Liu, 54. Rick Savage, Def Leppard, 62. Birthdays tomorrow, Amanda Seyfried from Mamma Mia and Les Miserables and that movie about Linda Lovelace. She's 37. Yeah, Mamma Mia. Anna Chlumsky from Veep and the old movie My Girl when she was little. She's 42. Tiffany Haddish, 43. Brendan Fraser, 54. Julianne Moore, 62. Daryl Hannah, married to Neil Young, 62. Ozzy Osbourne, 74. Birthdays on Sunday, Tyra Banks, as we always say. If you really look at her, she does not have a forehead. That thing is huge. It's actually a five head. Good morning, everybody. Jay-Z, 53. Fred Armisen, Saturday Night Live, 56. Marissa Tomei, 58. Gary Rossington, the last remaining original member of Skynyrd, 71. Jeff Bridges, the dude, is 73. And Max Baer, Jethro, the Beverly Hillbillies, 85. You know, the guy who was the executive producer on Colbert until just recently, Chris Light or Licht, it depends on who you talk to, L-I-C-T or L-I-H-C-T or something like that. Anyhow, CNN calls him up and says, you're running Colbert, you're doing a great job. How would you like to be the president of CNN? He's like, wait a minute, I'm producing a comedy show late night and you want me to be the president of CNN? And they're like, yeah. He's like, sure. So he's been making changes. They obviously believe that their morning show is the key to the success of the network. And so they moved Don Lemon in there in the morning with a couple of other people. And now they just announced this morning that Headline News, where Robin Mead has been the anchor there for, what, she's got to have been there for 30, 35 years, is out of a job. Or at least that job, because they're going to simulcast the CNN morning show on Headline News. No word yet on the fate of Robin Mead. You can now buy cargo shorts that hold a hot pocket. It's available in small through XL. I'll let you guess which size is already sold out. DoorDash has laid off 1,250 of their corporate employees. On the bright side, they now have 1,250 new delivery drivers. And a new lightweight ultra-shock absorbing foam could be used in helmets to help protect against concussions in the NFL. Unfortunately, it was discovered a little bit too late to be of any use to Herschel Walker. With that, the J.C. Quarkman podcast for Friday, December 2nd, 2022 is in the can. 75 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. We are here every weekday morning right about this time at jcontheline.com. But you already know that. Some of your friends and family members and coworkers may not know. So if you would please do me a favor and just spread the word. Let people know that we're here doing this every day. We'd like to see these numbers come up a little bit. That would be nice. And again, you can contact me by email, jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Quarkman. 3 weeks until the Christmas weekend. Yikes. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Quarkman Podcast.